In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord at this point in his ministry, after he had been baptized, began traveling all over the place. And today we find him in Jericho, which was a very populated area between Jerusalem and Galilee. Now, of course, after the baptism, word caught on like wildfire. I mean, it was spreading everywhere because Jesus was beginning his ministry with this great outpouring of miracles and wonders and all sorts of things. And that sort of thing back then, especially, must have really spread quickly. And so when he comes into Jericho today, he is flooded with people, many, many people. We don't know all their motivations. Some were probably definitely wanting to seek a word from God somehow. They didn't know. Others were there just because of this spectacle of the whole thing. You know, if it had happened today, there'd probably be people running up beside him wanting selfies or something with this popular man who was going through just to find out who he was and to say, well, you know, I saw him. You know, I was with him briefly. Yes, he was here, he was there. Lots of first-hand accounts, second-hand accounts, third-hand accounts. No matter. The crowd was enormous. And so, in this area of Jericho, we have a man who is despised by everyone. He is detested. He is hated by everyone because he was a tax collector. Now, tax collector back then was probably even worse than the IRS is today. Well, maybe. Maybe. But this was a man who was not only skimming and getting money from this place and that place and taking more than he needed. And, of course, he had a certain amount that he had to give to the Roman authorities. But then he was also making a lot for him. And the gospel points this out in a really direct way. Because you don't read this much in the Gospels the way that it talks about this. Because it talks about Zacchaeus as being not just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector. He was the one. He was the man. He was the point. And the Gospel says, and he was rich, as if to drive that home with an exclamation point. Because that said it all back then. He was a very wealthy man, and he got that way because he was skimming from everybody. So he was not someone who was well-liked. But the Lord saw something in Zacchaeus, and we can kind of see that. He saw the same thing in St. Paul when he was still Saul. He saw that perhaps all of this cheating and this vandalizing and perhaps, you know, turning widows away, not, you know, taking food out of the mouths of children because of his own avarice was something that was welling up so much inside him that it could really go no further. When that happens with someone, one of two things is possible. Either they become so absolutely sunken in this sort of behavior, their sins are so great that they become numbed to them. They can't even feel it anymore. They don't care. It just doesn't matter. They've really hardened their hearts so much that they're incorrigible. Or you reach the place where you're about to burst. You're going to burst because you know that you've done wrong all these years. You know that all of this sin is just welling up inside of you, and something's got to happen one way or the other. You're going to have to pick one of those two roads. The Lord knew that Zacchaeus was one who had something worthy inside of him. But yet this man who was short of stature, the gospel is quick to point out, he can't see him. He can't see the Lord. Now the Lord obviously had some kind of presence when he walked on earth. He wasn't just any Joe Schmo walking around. You wouldn't know who he was. Okay, the God-man is going to have a presence. But yet with that type of crowd, the Lord was also dressed in a way that was going to be very much what everyone else was wearing. And if there was a ton of people around him, you might not be able to see him. Zacchaeus knew this. And so now we get to this scene that's almost like a soap opera. because he's running ahead. He's running. He's trying to get ahead of the crowd because something in him tells him that he needs to see this man. He probably doesn't even know why, but something has excited him, something that perhaps he hasn't felt for years. And so he runs and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Now you can imagine this scene. The chief tax collector, the guy that's hated in all of Jericho more than anyone else, the big cheater, the one who's despised, who's short, and is running towards a sycamore tree and climbing up into the tree, and people are what's that guy doing? You know? What is it, you know, isn't that Zacchaeus? You know what? What's he up to now? Good grief, climbing in a tree. So Zacchaeus is in that sycamore tree, probably, you know, hanging there like an apple on a tree, sitting up there wanting to see the Lord, and the crowd finally comes near. And the Lord, knowing in his divinity what Zacchaeus is all about, knowing that there's something remarkable perhaps stirring within this man, sees him up in the tree. And immediately says, in front of everyone, this probably thousands of people, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. And not because I want to stay at your house, I'd like to stay at your house, but as the gospel says, I must stay at your house today. What was Zacchaeus thinking? He had never known the Lord Jesus by his name. Perhaps he had heard something. He was probably astonished, probably even a little bit embarrassed that all of a sudden he is singled out. He realizes who he is. He knows that most of the people don't like him, and here he is sitting up in a tree. Come down from there, the Lord says. He calls him by his name, which must have been just a riveting, riveting moment in this man's life. But then, of course, we get back to the crowd. The crowd who is, you know, back to the soap opera. What? You're asking that guy to come down so you can go into his house? You would eat with this obvious sinner? Well, how many of the people faded away at that point? We don't know. Oh, well, this man's obviously not who we heard that he was, is he? Because, I mean, look where he's going. That's not good. That's not good. But the Lord does go to the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, who knows what he was thinking from that moment that he came down from the tree and he was going with the Lord to the house. But immediately he tells him, he knows what he's done wrong. He says, Lord, half of my goods now I give to the poor. Half of everything I've got I will give. Had to be a lot. And if I've defrauded anyone, I'll restore him fourfold. Well, why fourfold? Because that's what the law said to do. That's what was in the Old Testament, that he was to restore. You're supposed to restore that much to someone whom you've defrauded. And so Zacchaeus did that. And the Lord, who knew from the moment he walked into the town that this whole incident was going to happen, says that, again, that other remarkable passage, today salvation has come to his house. Because the Lord is salvation. And so salvation was literally walking into the house of Zacchaeus. After that, one can only imagine the discussions that were going on at his home that day. One can only imagine the chatter that went through the crowd as the Lord disappears into this man's house and with the chief of sinners in that whole area. Yet at the same time, Zacchaeus found salvation because Zacchaeus found himself that day. The Holy Fathers say that in order to progress spiritually, we have to ascend, and then we descend and take everything that we found out into the world. And that's what Zacchaeus was doing when he went up into the tree. He was ascending. He had to get above everything. He had to get above all the clutter, the chaos, the craziness, and especially of all of the sinful feelings that he had left among the people of Jericho from the deeds that he had done. He had to see it from another distance. And the only way of doing that, which is why I think it was emphasized that he was short, that's also saying that he could not see. He could not see beyond himself because of his stature. Spiritually, he couldn't see. But when he went up into the tree, he was able to do that. He was able to have a Damascus Road moment. And that was confirmed when the Lord finally said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must need come to your house today." And the church gives us this gospel right before Lent. We have 2 weeks now before the pre-Sundays of Lent began. And so really only about 5 weeks until Lent proper. And this whole idea of Zacchaeus, which is not part of the triodion, the Lenten triodion that will begin in a few weeks, but this gospel passage and that of the Canaanite woman, which we will hear next week, something that the church uses it to prepare us for what is upcoming in Lent. Because in a way, we are all Zacchaeus. We are all so encumbered with so many things that we have done, so many things that have crowded in on us so that we can't see what's around us. We need to elevate ourselves to get above it all, to look down and to see the world as the Lord wants it to be, to understand that it's our time, that it's our time to cleanse ourselves, to repent, and to begin that slow Lenten walk. Sometimes a run when we get to Holy Week, but most of the times a slow walk up into the Pascha of the Lord. So that's why this gospel is very important for us today, because we do have Lent just around the corner. You know, the church understands that when you go from a non-fasting season, like we've basically been in, to a super fasting season, that it's not something that you do, flip a switch, overnight you're there and you can do it. No, that's why we have preparatory Sundays. We have four preparatory Sundays over a three-week period. We have Zacchaeus and the Canaanite woman that prepare us for the preparatory Sundays, and then we work into it slowly. And the church even offers us, after the week of the publican and Pharisee, a fast-free week, just so we can understand that it's not all about the fasting that we're going to do, but it's about a change of heart, a change of heart that we see in Zacchaeus today. And so I wish everyone to look at it this way, to understand that we've got a time coming up that is the absolute holiest time of the year, without question. It is a sanctified time. And it's a time, and I say this every year, and I know a lot of you are probably tired of hearing it, but you might ignore Great Lent, but the devil will not. He knows what time of year this is. He's very well aware of it. And he's coming after you whether you're ready for it or not, because the temptations increase during Great Lent. One day I felt like I could write a book about all the things that have happened to different people during Great Lent over all the years that I've been Orthodox. It's really extraordinary. It's nothing to be afraid of, but it's definitely something to be prepared for. Because if you are spiritually prepared for it, if you are up in that tree looking down, then you can see things coming a little bit better. And when they happen, you'll be ready for it. Because this is a magnificent time of year. That's why we do it once a year, every year, because by the time we get here, we really need it, don't we? We've gone through a nativity fast, which has been cluttered with all kinds of, well, you all know, you see it, you know, we start hearing Christmas carols in October. So we go through all of that, and then we have a fast-free period between Christmas and Theophany, and now we've just come out of that. And it's still kind of Christmassy out, and will be until February 2nd, the presentation of the Lord. But then, this year particularly, because of when Pascha falls, Lent starts a lot sooner. So we have to make ourselves ready. Even now, start thinking about it. Lent is coming. That's something you want to keep in your mind from now until the day it actually does start, because you don't want it to take you unawares. You don't want that. That's not a good thing, because many people get off on the wrong foot. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, I was hoping for a great Lent this year, I should say. But at the same time, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. And Holy Week came and I was just too busy to go to, not the Holy Week. The first week of Great Lent started and I wasn't ready to go to the great canon services or to hear the wonderful services that are being chanted that week. And so I just feel like I've wasted my time. And I usually hear these types of confessions right before Holy Week starts. That's how it works. Don't make it that way. Prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. A great light has walked upon those who are in darkness, as we heard the other week. Zacchaeus today in his tree, salvation has come not only to his house, but to all of our houses as well, if we will but let the Lord see us and come to us. And that's what we all have to do. So, my dear sleepers, awake, because the time is now. The time is now for preparation. The time is now to gird ourselves spiritually so that we can have the best Lent possible in all repentance and love and charity and almsgiving and kindness to others, so that we can greet the resurrection of Christ in the proper manner, as we should. Amen.